I grew up in the Mormon Church. Born and raised, as they say. Even during the times of inactivity, I still considered myself to be a true believing Mormon. Times and people change, and when someone pushes you to reevaluate your beliefs, you sometimes realize how wrong you were. 2016 was the year I moved from Mormonville to Heathensburg. I'm Molly Ann Mormon. Welcome to Doubting Dogma, where I explore my new views and new friendships, moving on without religious belief. All right, welcome back to Doubting Dogma. And joining us today are the hosts of the Odd Atheist Friends podcast, Eric and Matthew. Welcome to the show.
What up?
Thanks for having us.
Lucky episode number 13.
13, that's what I'm talking
favorite
about.
Number, so hell yeah.
Some truskadecaphobia going on, which I do not have at all.
Well, I had, my first cat that I had was a black cat, completely solid black, not a single white hair on her, and I called her Friday the 13th. So,
oh, that's so awesome.
You can see where my superstitions lie.
I've got a black cat, but he's got some white on his tummy, and Sammy likes to take the straws out of my drinks. He does. He likes to take the straws out of my drinks. I don't know if you heard our episode with Aaron Raw, not this last episode, but the episode before, episode 10. Yeah. Sammy meowed in the thing and it came through.
Yeah,
I heard it on my headphones.
I had a calico I got her when she was a little kitten, but she was very clingy, and she'd always, like, crawl up on my lap and everything. I'm there, like, playing my computer games and talking to my guildies on vent and everything. And
oh, fuck. Seriously?
And she'd hop right up there and go right next to the microphone, and she'd talk to everybody. I'd be like, hey, and she's like, meow, and she'd carry on conversations with everyone. It was lots of fun.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes. So when she passed away, she had kitty breast cancer.
Oh, no.
And we caught it too late, and it was just, it was very sad. That was the first pet I had to put down.
Oh.
And so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Still chokes me up, as you can hear. But
I love my kitties.
Yeah.
I have three. So if you didn't know, I have three kitties.
Yeah. So did I.
And then, I'm more of a dog person.
I've got two of those too, but
you said you were allergic to cats, Eric. So I understand. So
yeah,
are you gonna puff up to the size of a balloon if you come near a cat or what?
No, I can pet them and stuff as long as I'm not like laying beside them for like an extended period of time. It's pretty much okay.
Okay. Well, I've kind of got a rule in this house. The cats live here, you don't. So if you don't want fur on your clothes, well, my wife is like psychotic. Yeah, exactly. My wife is really psychotic about cleaning. She runs me over with a vacuum cleaner at least twice a day. She's really psychotic about keeping the furniture and stuff pretty fur clean, but I'm wearing currently a black t-shirt and there's some cat fur on it. So, but yeah, the cats live here. Guests do not. So you know where you stand.
Exactly. Yeah. And when I moved here, cause my husband is allergic to like everything. If it is on this earth, he is allergic to it in some form. And like it's so horrible. But the cats and the dogs were my non-negotiable, as he called it. You know, I'm like, I'm not getting rid of them. So I will get rid of a boyfriend before I get rid of my animals that I've had for, 8, 12 years.
Yeah.
So those were my non-negotiables, even though the cats gave him respiratory issues. The dogs give him skin contact allergies. So, if he plays with the dogs, like, especially during the summer, like, his arms, after, like, 5 minutes, just start breaking out. And so, invest in Benadryl spray. Well, like, in Benadryl stock, because, you know, we're driving the prices up.
Wow.
So,
yeah. And especially if you live in Heathen Town, Pennsylvania, like you do. So if
oh,
you,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Is it Heathen Town, Heathenville, Heathenburg? I mean, you know, you come up with a new town name every week.
Well, us heathens are nomadic people, so, you know.
So, good point. Yeah, good point.
Move around.
You know, because we gotta, you know, because you can't stay too long, because otherwise we'll eat all the supply of babies. So we gotta go with you another.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. So, you know,
like, fresh babies are.
It's like following the buffalo around the plains,
exactly.
Right?
So, you know, and you gotta get the babies before they get too young, because, you know, it's like veal. You know, I mean, there comes a point when they just get too hard.
Keep them tender.
Exactly.
That's disgusting. Well, once they get,
you know, what's even better if you can boil them in their own mother's milk.
Wow,
that's not kosher.
Exactly my point.
That's why you can't have like beef and cheese in the same dish, Eric, in the same meal.
Oh. Because,
if you're Jewish.
Yeah, because it's having the child with the mother. Oh. And so, like, it's seen as this, you know, like, that's, I don't know, bad juju to eat the baby cow with something that came from the mama cow.
Fuck that.
Or could have.
Is it the same with, like, chicken and eggs? Can you not have
yeah.
those?
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. You can't have the eggs and the same thing with the chicken. It's fucking ridiculous. And this is one of the reasons why these fucking old school religion fucking bullshit rules are fucking bullshit. What was it? I saw a picture. I think I shared the meme a while ago where it's like a cow and a pig were like next to each other and like best friends in life, best friends in death. And then you see a hamburger with bacon on it.
Hells yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Today, I had to get up today because we had to go get the emissions testing on the car. So we got up and had to go get the emissions testing. And so we got that done. We got that knocked out. And it's like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I'm hungry. I want breakfast. And so we went to the old IHOP. And and then I got like the loaded bacon cheeseburger omelet or some shit or whatever the fuck it was. I was grubbing, let me tell you. And so, yeah, I am all about having bacon and all that kind of stuff, man. So fuck all those old rules, you know. Well, shit, you know, it's like, I know that they're not really like pigskin anymore, but footballs used to be made from pigskin,
you know.
And so,
that's why it's called that, you know?
Exactly. So they're not made from pigskin anymore, but it, you know, it's still it's like the point of like, well, Jewish people couldn't. Well, I don't know. I've heard that a lot of Jewish people aren't exactly good at the sports balls. So,
are they good at other balls?
hey, you know, that's not for me to say. You know, if they're good at it or not, it all depends on what the partner says. So
the Eli Bosnick story. No,
So it's like, wait, you know, they can't touch a football. Balls. Well, fuck, baseball's made out of cowskin leather. At least they used to be. So,
well, I think baseballs still are made from genuine leather, like the
real MLB baseballs. Maybe,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't remember if there was a rule about that or not. I really don't know.
I'm not sure, but baseball
I'm not looking
had all kinds of crazy ass little rules, but you know,
I know there's 213 stitches in a baseball.
Nice.
I don't ask me fucking why, I just do. So
I like that it ends with 13. But anyways.
I do too. Actually, I really don't give a shit one way or another, so fuck it.
Yeah, no, I just like that number because everybody else doesn't, so I give it extra 11 or something, I don't know.
Extra 11. Oh, I guess 13.
So what's up, Molly?
13 is the loneliest number.
Aww.
Oh, well,
poor 13. but
there's a song that's going through my head right now. Oh man, 31 is the loneliest number that you'll never get. I have no idea. Yep. I can't carry a tune in a bucket with a handle, so me singing is not a good thing. So what's going on, Molly? What's up? Other than having actually me on now with my podcast and my podcast partner, Eric, the Odd Atheist Friends.
Well, yes, and I had said that we needed to get you back on once you had the name for the show and had the
Oh, it's the Odd Atheist Friends, and the Odd Atheist Friends is actually Eric and myself. It's not that it's an odd number. It's that when I was a Christian, I wouldn't be talking to Eric because Eric is a trans man. So,
yeah. Gay trans man.
Gay trans man. Fuck, that's right. A gay trans man. I would have said horrifying things to Eric, but now they're just slightly less horrifying. So fuck you. Slightly less.
Well, I had just listened to you guys' last podcast episode. And
the one we were just talking about, Eric going from coming back from Zambia and all that shit.
And walking 1,100 miles.
Yeah.
And I'm first off, I am in awe that you're even considering this because my legs would fall off. But
mine probably will.
Awesome. And
yeah, I don't walk a mile anymore. Fuck that. I'm retired.
I unfortunately still have to for my job. Damn it. But I hate everybody that doesn't have to do a PT test. Anyways, okay. So I was wondering about the logistics of this. Now, are you actually going to go to one corner of North Carolina and actually walk your ass across?
Yes. So there's this trail called the Mountain to Sea Trail, and it's like 3/4 finished, and it spans all the way across North Carolina from like the highest summit on the Tennessee-North Carolina border all the way to the Outer Banks, like right at the
ocean. Wow. So all the way along the length of North Carolina, not north to south, east to west.
Yeah, east to west. Sorry, I didn't specify. But yeah, it's not straight across either. There's like a lot of looping around and stuff. And what isn't on trail right now is currently on back roads. So I'd be hiking trail about 75% of the time and hiking on back roads the other 25%.
Okay. And then, well, for those that haven't heard your podcast, because I was dropping your names a couple times last night at Riss's 100th episode live.
How was it?
It was great. It was so much fun. There were actually a couple people that were like, oh, I've heard your voice. You're Molly. I was like, wow.
Awesome.
Someone knows
That's
me.
Great.
Like, that in itself, like, but then I was all, like, super emotional because I had already gone to my therapy appointment earlier that afternoon, so I was already, like, all, you know, just emotions were running. Yeah, and I was already, like, bawling my eyes out in my therapist's office. Aww. And then, so I get...
Oh.
Yeah. Well, the anxiety has gone down a little bit, but the depression has gone up a little bit. So we're like working through it and trying to like convince myself that I'm not as socially awkward as I always feel that I am and this kind of stuff. Because part of my anxiety is like, for instance, I was going to go to the speaking engagement that Andrew Torres had in Allentown on just... like the 4th or something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I was going to go. I talked to my husband the day before and said, you know, I really want to go to this. You know, do you mind? It's still going to be when you're sleeping. I'll get home a little bit when after you wake up, you know. It's, so it won't, like, be a big impact on our day and all this kind of stuff. But then, I mean, the anxiety gets to me and I'm like, I don't know my way around that town. I'm unfamiliar with it. How am I going to find a parking space? Because these little eastern towns are a freaking pain in the ass when it comes to parking. And what am I going to wear? And I'm going to just be socially weird because I don't know anybody. And I, like, talked myself out of going. And this is part of the issues that I'm trying to... These are some of the issues that I'm working through with my therapist. Trying to be like, well, no... This is called fortune telling when you do this, and that's because you're convinced that this is what's going to happen, but that's not realistic. So that's part of what I'm trying to work through. And so last night, after already being emotional at my therapist's office, emotions were still running high, and I did, like, cry a little more. But it was good.
Aww.
And it was lots of fun. I got a picture of me with Chris Cluey. Woo!
Yay!
So, I was like, that's cool. I got a picture with a legitimate, used-to-be NFL player, even though I don't do the footballs. But...
yeah.
I just do other balls.
Well... You know, why not? So, I mean, it was lots of fun. And yeah, I like dropped your name and stuff. But anyway.
Yay, thanks.
You're most welcome. So I totes lost my train of thought of what happened before this. Son of a whore.
I know you're talking.
Oh, right. I was listening to your podcast and the intention behind this walk. If you could explain a little bit, so my listeners know what you're doing too, because it is an awesome thing. And wow. I was, when I was listening to your podcast and you talking about it, I'm just sitting there like, oh my gosh, I'm like the scum of the earth compared to this person. So,
no, you're not. I have a lot of dreams and a lot of willpower though, so I try to put it to good use.
I talk myself out of everything. But anyways, go on. Yeah, tell them about, because you worked in Zambia with the kids and the chickens and helped them. And you're trying to raise money to build the school.
Yeah.
Them,
yeah.
What
so,
you're doing.
So last year, last May through July, to the end of the July, I spent teaching fifth grade in Zambia at a rural community school. That so the way the public school system in Zambia works is you pay a lot of money to go to an actual school. So a lot of kids aren't able to go because they can't afford it. So there are these community schools set up to try to get the kids that can't pay any money or pay very little money to have a place to go to school. And that's where I was teaching at, and I was like the first volunteer that had ever gone there. So.
So you're like the first like person from America like these people had seen then.
Maybe the kids. I know that it's kind of near a touristy town, it's near Victoria Falls, so I'm sure they've seen, Americans and other travelers, but they're not typically there to, like, volunteer and help them. So I was the first person they had interacted with in that capacity. So I spent the whole, basically their whole first semester of the fifth grade teaching them, and, I learned, like, part of the school system and stuff and how it works. And so basically these kids right now have like a really shitty building they're using to go to school in. It's not any type of school at all. It's just like an old church type building, I think. And it's from like the 1930s. It's falling apart. They probably can't even use it in the rainy season because there's so many holes in the ceiling.
Wow.
And the rainy season's half the year there, so that's a pretty big deal. And but yeah, so this school has basically one big room and one half put together room, and there is grades 1st through 7th going there. So we have to split up the day like in half. So half the day, grades like 1 through 5 go to school.
For the younger ones, and
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the kids are only getting half a day of school anyway, which isn't what they need at all. And there's no resources to pay teachers except for what the kids' parents can provide. And half these kids are orphans, and they're the older kids have to work so they can provide any sort of money to wherever they're staying. So the situation just isn't that great for any of these kids or the school. The only government aid they get is to pay the headmistress, who is trying her best to run the school, but the teachers are basically working as volunteers because they get paid maybe $20 a month, if that.
Wow.
And it's not a very good situation, and they had to stop their food program, and they were just feeding the kids, like, the main staple food there is, like, mushed up cornmeal, and they couldn't even afford that anymore. So when I was there, I tried to make sure we fed the kids at least once or twice a week. Like, I would teach cooking to my kids, and then so we would make enough food for like 300 kids at a time, And that was really awesome. And so my goal while I was there was to help them set up some systems to raise money themselves. So we fixed up an old chicken coop that was on the property. And I got to learn, like, how to wire a light bulb and stuff, which was terrifying.
Yeah.
It was great.
You light up my life, zap!
Yeah. So, and then I raised the money to buy 200 baby chickens and all the food for them and all the medicine and stuff. And we got 200 baby chickens, and right before I left, like, they were about a week away from being ready to sell. And I laid out a business plan for them, and I said, okay, you're going to sell these 200 chickens. Well, the ones that, I mean, we were probably down to, like, 190 because a few of them died. But, like, you're going to sell these chickens, and then you're going to take the money. You're going to buy 200 more baby chickens and all the food and stuff again. And you're going to take the profit. You're going to put half the profit in a savings account for the school we're going to build. So you can save money for yourself, too. And then you're going to take the other half and put it toward the school right now so you can pay the teachers, get books, whatever. And so we set that up. And I think – and it's been working pretty well. They still have chickens going, and the process has been running. And we also set up a garden, and they're growing corn in it right now. And right now they're getting ready to have a fundraiser in September. So they're going to have the chickens and the corn, and they're also making doormats by hand. And, like, they've been sending me pictures of my kids, and I love my kids so much. And they sent me pictures of them making the doormats by hand, and I just really want to be there. But I know that me being there right now wouldn't be helpful. I mean, it would be helpful because I could be a teacher and contribute there, but I couldn't make any money there. And I'm trying to work for the next year and save up as much money as possible, which is why I'm trying to get a really good job that pays like $30,000 to $40,000 a year, so I can save that up myself. And then I'll also work a second job so I can just, like, continue to pay, like, rent and stuff. And I only live off of like $8,000 a year anyway, so a second job would be fine for that. And then I would take all the money I made from the one good job, and then I'm trying to raise money right now. I've had a fundraiser going since January, but I've only raised like $300 because I haven't done a lot of work to put toward it because I've been busy with everything else.
And so, you haven't really advertised it?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't advertised it to anyone other than like some friends and family and a little bit at school, but a lot of, I don't know, it's hard to advertise effectively, I guess, to get people to want to donate money. But so I have this idea, and I've been wanting to do it anyway because I really love hiking, and I think it'd be great. So hiking across North Carolina, which is the state I live in, because these kids that go to school, they have to walk between like 2 and 10 miles a day, sometimes more, just so they can go to this awful little building and learn for half a day. They don't even have a whole day of school, so they have to walk all that. Every year, like, constantly, all year, and if I walk 1,100 miles, that's not even going to be as much as they can walk in, like, a semester sometimes. So, wow. My idea is that I'll walk the 1,100 miles, and I will try to advertise it a lot and, like, go to the news or something and say, look, I'm walking this, and I'm going to try to raise money, and if you want to donate, like, per mile or something, that'd be really awesome. So, help me build the school, because I need, like... Ideally, I would have $75,000 going in, but I would probably be fine with $40,000. So, but that's my idea. And I have a lot of other ideas for the school, too, but that's the basis of it. Sorry for going on for so long.
Oh, no, by all means. Do you have any idea of when you're going to do this walk? Is it going to be after the year of working and saving up a bunch of stuff? Because I imagine doing this walk is going to take a little while.
Yeah, so a little bit. The walk will take, depending on my pace, it'll take 2 to 3 months.
Okay, and are you going to be able to, you're just going to, like, camp along the trail there? Are you going to have stations set up certain places to, you know, restock with food? Are you going to have somebody, like, following along behind you?
I don't think I have anyone.
Things off or whatever.
I don't know if I have anyone that would do that. So there are some places along the trail that aren't too far from town, so I just walk into town and buy some stuff. A lot of people will just, like, have a bounce box that you send to post office along the trail.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, I know some people in North Carolina, and the trail actually goes really close to, like, my own house, and then about 2.5 hours driving away my parents' house. So I'd stop by both of those places, have a few rest days, and restock. But yeah, it would take a long time. So if I get a good job, I would probably work there for a year and then do the walk.
All right. Well, you will have to keep us up to date on the status of this so that when it does come time or closer that we can put out the word and let people sponsor you per mile or per day or however you're gonna work that, because I think that's a really worthy cause that a whole bunch of people would be excited to support, especially if they get to hear you talk about it, because it's very evident in your voice how passionate you are about it. And, I mean, I just commend you. This is awesome.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me talk about it on your show. Going over there, I don't know what made me decide to go to Zambia. I have no idea. But I saw it listed on a volunteer site, and I said, hey, why not? And then I applied for a grant, got a grant to pay for me going there the first time. Fell in love with these kids. Like, these kids are just, I don't know, I love them so much. I had a class size of about 20 to 30 kids. It varied because some kids couldn't come all the time, but I love them so much, and I want them to have a school to go to, and I want future kids to have a school to go to, because that's something I can do and I can build, and it'll last for a long time. So
yeah, definitely.
Also, I thought it was something interesting that, getting to, like, the whole atheism thing, a lot of these people, even the adults, had never heard of atheism before, and I introduced the adults and the kids to atheism for the first time, and it was really funny because they didn't really understand it. Their first question was, so where do you pray?
No. And you're like, well, about that.
That's not really a thing. You know, I've mentioned it before. I don't know if you've heard it. I don't know if you've listened in the past to what I'd said. But, you know, it's like here in the United States, I mean, the permission to be cis, straight, and some form of Christian is tacit and implicit. Where it's just like it's kind of expected for you to be a straight person, for you to be, and some form of worship, some form of Christian God. You know what I'm saying? Here in the United States. And so, you know, the thought didn't really occur to me to not do that until I was in my 30s, to not be, you know, a Christian. You know what I'm saying? And so, do you see what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah, where
it's like you don't know that you can do it. Do you know what I'm saying? And so you'd be like, so it was like, well, fuck that, man. I'm a grown ass man. You know, I can be an atheist if I want to. Do you know what I'm saying? Or
yeah, because there's the ignorance of certain things that your eyes haven't even been open to the possibility of. So therefore, you have no even inkling that it's a thing and that
exactly.
It's allowed, it's acceptable that you can do that rather than what is set, like, what is the society structure that is expected of you. So, I mean, I've heard from a lot of people, I mean, take Riss, for example, before she knew that trans was a thing, you know, and she had a hard time defining what it was that she was, what she felt, but she knew that it wasn't normal, air quotes, to society. But then once the interwebs finally, you know, was out there and she was able to do the research and she said, well, no, this is what I am. And now I have a term for it. And now I know and I understand and this fits with me, you know? So it's the ignorance of what's out there a lot of times and not knowing that you can do that.
I was actually going to bring that point up because that's why I didn't know I was trans until I was like 20, 21, because I didn't know that was a thing that I could be. I just knew I felt different. And then I found like trans guys on the internet explaining how they felt, and I was like, oh my god, that's exactly how I feel. That must be what I am.
Oh my god? You mean your god?
You're right. I'm sorry. Fuck your god.
And speaking of that...
Fuck your god. Say what?
Yes, that. Yeah, we have this little thing on the show that we did once, and we haven't had a chance to do the second chapter, so I asked if you guys wanted to read through the second chapter of this freaking horrible book of crap that is The Miracle of Forgiveness. So
I think I need some forgiveness.
Yeah, I need a lot of forgiveness because, yeah, I didn't do the homework.
All right, well, there's plenty enough that, I mean, I can, like, say three words and you'll be like, what? Yeah, so...
Oh, I can interject all the fuck all over it. So, will I have permission to come all over the tits in this episode or not?
Well, that's a sin, and he'll get into that.
You're gonna have to beg for forgiveness.
Yes.
Fuck that. I don't have forgiveness to beg for anybody. By the way, I think we should probably mention to your listeners where Don't Come on the Tits came from. That's episode 3 of Odd Atheist Friends, where Molly was gracious enough to come on our show, and we were talking about Onan. And how Onan decided not to to do what he was told to do and shot his load onto the ground. So, and I said, well, how come he didn't shoot it on her tits or something? That just because I'm an asshole. And so so that's where that came from to your listeners who might be listening.
Thank you for explaining where the cum came from.
Yes. Hey, you always got to know where the cum came from, god damn it. You know, because you never know in an orgy.
You never want to touch something you don't know where it came from. And if you do, use gloves. Anyways, okay.
Eli Bosnick story.
Yes. Also, what they always tell us at work. sorry. Okay. When you work in emergency services, you know, there is the possibility of odd bodily functions showing up when you go to a call, so they always say, glove up. Anyways.
Glove up and wear a, CPR shield, too.
Yes, yes. We have the little pocket masks that you can just...
I had one on my gun belt when I was a military police officer.
Yes. All right, so The Miracle of Forgiveness, if you don't know, was written by Spencer W. Kimball, who is one of the presidents of the church. He was actually the president of the church when I was a kid, so like early 80s. I don't
know. The Mormon church, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. Still, even though, like, if I ever say quote unquote we, when there is no we, like, and I'm talking religion, that's going to be the Mormon church, just because even though I'm no longer part of it, like, I still, that's...
I understand.
As Bryce Blankenengel always says, like, it's a, just like, you can be culturally Jewish.
Is that a Mormonese thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
but, like, with, you know, even though I've left the church, like, it is so much of the culture that I grew up in, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Molly, like, you know I'm busting your chain, right?
Yeah, so I still just kind of even though I shouldn't, but I do. So anyway, Spencer W. Kimball wrote this book called The Miracle of Forgiveness that's supposed to, like, help people when they've sinned so that they know that there is hope, but it is such a harsh book from everything I've heard. I've never read the full way through, so I'm reading it as I go, kind of like, you know, the scathing guys in the Book of Mormon. but they always said, like, you could be, you know, the prime Mormon example that follows all the rules, and you read this and you feel like the scum of the earth. So I was like, this will be fun to make fun of and point out how effed up the frickin' church is. So
fucked up.
I'll be honest, when I was reading this, all I could think of was, like, sexual innuendos. I mean, they're just, like, everywhere.
Yeah, because he keeps saying, you know, well, sexual sin, sexual sin, sexual sin. I'm like, wow, somebody's got a little... But, I mean, when you're so deprived and you have to stamp down your own, like, biological drive, I mean, that's what happens. You become obsessed with stuff that
seriously
you're not supposed to. Yeah
I mean, well, even the first thing it says is no unclean thing shall enter, and I'm like over here like, oh my god.
Yeah that's the chapter title, no unclean thing can enter. And so, like,
so wash your vibrators.
Yes, you'll always want to fully wash and disinfect after every use. Anyways, I'm so going to Mormon hell. It's going to be awesome.
I don't have hell. It's outer darkness, right?
Well, yeah, there's outer darkness, but, like, outer darkness is supposed to be where Satan and his angels that never got bodies and came to Earth are. And then if you, quote-unquote, had your calling and election made sure, which is if God or Jesus or somebody appears to you and says, you are going to the celestial kingdom because you're so awesome, and then you still turn around and deny the church and deny the Holy Ghost, that's when you go to outer darkness, is the way.
Oh, I'd be going to outer darkness, because I've said on more than one occasion publicly that I deny the Holy Spirit. And that is the one thing that is the unforgivable sin in the Bible, is denying the Holy Spirit. So let me say it again for the third time publicly. I deny the Holy Spirit. Go fuck yourself with a cactus.
Ow. Okay.
Just disinfect it.
Worst vibrator ever. Okay. Oh, this just took a turn for the worse. Anyway.
Oh, we're just starting.
I know it, right? Okay, so he starts the chapter and he says, the road of life is plainly marked, and that our Father waits hopefully anxious to greet his returning children. Yeah. And then he also says, unfortunately, many will not arrive. But it's like, the whole thing is like, well, that was his plan, right? But, oh, yeah, the hell with all this nonsense. And he also says, less than that is, in one degree or another, uncleanliness, and hence cannot dwell with God. Because he goes and says, well, you know, if you look at a white shirt and it just has this one little tiny speck of dirt on it, then it's not dirty to us, but it is to God. So that in itself just shows the unrealisticness of...
Well, when you're jerking off, you're not supposed to be aiming towards yourself. That's what tissues are for. Fuck.
Sorry, no one ever taught me that. I'm still new to this thing, okay?
Don't aim up.
I can't aim at all. Dang it. Okay.
You're not trying hard enough.
Oh. Yeah, that's what this book says, too.
So three fingers instead of two? What?
Oh, so bad. So
I was a fucking sailor for 20 years. I mean, I'm not even on a roll yet.
Yeah, and I've worked, you know, law enforcement in the military for 15 years, so, yeah.
You should be on my par.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyway. I've got a lot of Mormonism that I'm battling against, right?
Okay, well, come on, let's go.
Let's battle.
Let's battle. Let the sexual combat begin.
Oh, God.
How come I picture us back to back about to, like, duel? And it's like 20 paces with the vibrator.
I was just thinking the same thing.
I was picturing us as, like, Romans. with like chariots and lions everywhere.
With, you know, you ever see like the really long vibrators that's though for swords? Like oh, no. You know, like the big huge like rubber dildos were like Roman armor with those swinging those dildos at each other.
My gosh.
It's better than canoe jousting. All right. Oh my god. Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, fuck right. Your god.
Oh, geez.
Let's continue if you can get your color to a normal shade of unread.
Yeah, not happening, especially since in order to avoid the background noise of the fan, I'm up here in the little room that has no air conditioning. Well, the whole house doesn't have air conditioning, but I have no air circulation in this room, so I'm roasting my balls off. But
damn.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And he goes on to say that no one but the master has ever lived sinless, according to him. And yeah, and I said, I don't ever recall in the scriptures God or Jesus being called the master, and it makes me wonder what sort of kink this guy is into. Are we all God's little BDSM sex slaves or what?
So, did we get the gimp out of the box and feed him yet? I'm thinking, what is that,
No, God see, damn it. I think he's trying to say we are the gimp. I'm not sure, but
and then he says no man can serve two masters. And then later he says Peter emphasizes bondage.
Yeah.
Holy shit, right? We are the gimp. Can you take the ball gag out of my mouth so I can get a bite to eat from time to time? I'm a fat guy. I like food.
You only get to eat dick, sorry.
No, that's
well,
a sin.
Well, you know, they're going to be in trouble because I have problems when I brush my tongue. So it's not going to be very good.
No. You're going to learn quick.
Oh, my gosh. And he also goes and he changes the definition of lust to include gluttony. He says that lust is just the excess of any worldly appetite. So, yeah, so there you go. You're in trouble for lusting, Matthew, because you want to eat too much food or something.
Oh, fuck yeah. Man, I retired from the military, so I don't have to worry about PRT and weight standards. So, I'm a grown-ass man, so if I'm going to have fucking ice cream, I'm going to go to the refrigerator and get some fucking ice cream. You know, or whatever the fuck, you know? Fuck that guy in the goat ass.
Yeah.
That's and a then, sin too.
Yes, he is. I'm gonna have to read that paragraph here in a bit where it's he lists all those sins. But
yes.
And then the next section is the reality of Satan, and he's here and he's like, Satan's totes real, guys. He's not just like a pigment of your imagination. He's like, it's not like the old days where they just use him to scare people. He's like, he's totes real. He's gonna get you. So. and
well, we just had Aaron Ra on our show. So he, I don't know if you've ever seen what Aaron Ra looks like, but you know, he's, you know, like well over 6 foot tall, you know, like a heavy set guy with a Fu Manchu. Just tinge him red, get him a fork tail and a pitchfork and we got the devil for ourselves.
Yeah, and I was going to say, if the picture that I saw is what I'm thinking of, he looks like a cross between a mountain man and, like, an Indian warrior, because he has real long hair, too.
Yeah, his hair's, like, over 2 feet long.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder what else is over 2 feet long.
You're going to have to ask that for yourself. I didn't ask.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, I wasn't there. Oh, man, I'm going to make that our new first question. How big's your dick?
Oh, no.
Wow.
I think it'll work. Sorry. Go ahead. No.
Sorry. I was just trying to figure out if I had one. I was licking. No, I'm just...
sometimes you never know, right?
Well, maybe, you know, the conceptual penis is a myth.
Huh. I'm gonna have to read that paper sometime.
understand what I'm talking about, right?
There was a paper about it, and then they were all, I don't know, and everybody was getting all butthurt over it, which is interesting, because if it was conceptual, you'd think it wouldn't penetrate too bad. But anyways. oh, my gosh. See, this is why I use a fake name, so my parents don't hear all the... Anyways, moving on.
Pussy.
Yes, absolutely.
That's not conceptual.
I have one of those.
so do I.
High five. okay.
Matthew, you're
yeah, and then
I'm literally the straight guy here.
Yes, true story. Okay, so then he goes on and he's saying how, like, all these old sins, like, people don't know what these words mean, but, you know, those are the new sins are really the old sins, and it's just under different names and stuff. And he then decides that he needs to go and list this stuff, you know, and he carries on, and he's like, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, which is to say, they're going to masturbate.
Hey, like I said, when I was on deployment, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I could switch hands and gain a stroke, so shit.
Well, it's good to, you know, be able to use either hand, you know, then if you, like, get an injury or something. You
can, exactly.
There you go. Yeah, and so he's there quoting Paul for a few verses and carrying on, and he quotes John for a minute, but then he says, okay, as we read the scriptures quoted or referenced above, because he lists off a whole crap ton of freaking scripture references, which we're not going to get into because nobody cares.
I sure as fuck don't.
Right. We observe that they list virtually all the modern transgressions. All of them. Okay. And then he said, let us review the lengthy list. Okay. Ready? I read this to my husband, and he just about died laughing. Which then would have made me guilty of the first one, murder. So, okay. Murder, adultery, theft, cursing. So, sorry, Matthew.
Fuck you.
unholiness in masters, disobedience in servants, unfaithfulness, improvidence, hatred of God. So, yeah.
I'm guilty of almost all of them so far.
Yes. Okay. Well, here's the one that had me completely flipping off this book and wanting to chuck it out the window and, like, shoot it and stuff. Disobedience to husbands.
You know, that goes back to that shit that fucking Paul said about, you know, husbands obey your... wives obey your husbands as if you would to God, that kind of shit. And then, so it's basically like you say to your wife, bitch, give me a sandwich, and while you're there, give me a blowy. And, you know,
screw you, get your own damn sandwich. Oh, I am hereby guilty of high treason, of disobedience to husbands.
And, you know, some of the other religions, you know, like, you know, it's like, Islam, they basically give, if you read the book directly, it basically gives husbands permission to rape their wives. And so, well, they don't exactly say that in the Bible, but it's really kind of intimated, where it's basically you can do whatever the fuck you want. And so it wasn't until recently.
If I recall, it says somewhere in there, wives submit to your husbands, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so basically, same thing.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's just not...
Tough luck. Freaking lay there and deal with it.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, but like I was saying, it wasn't that long ago when they said that where spousal rape was actually considered a crime. We're talking within the last 30 or 40 years.
Well, I think there's still some states that's on the books that spousal rape is not a thing, like that.
Oh yeah,
you know, whatever, men can do what they want, and
pretty sure North Carolina is one of those. We also don't have anything that explains what consent is.
Really?
What?
In like, rape laws, we don't have anything that explains what consent is, so it can be, like, construed to, like, anything.
Wow.
She batted her eyelashes at me. That's consent. What the fuck?
She winked. Jeez, what the hell?
It's awful.
Okay, yeah, so...
No! Don't! Stop! Really?
Yep. Okay, so Eric, you're about to get in trouble here. Lack of natural affection. that's talking the gayness.
So
that's not allowed. Hmm. High-mindedness, flattery, lustfulness, infidelity, indiscretion, backbiting, whispering.
So don't do this, because you're going to go to hell.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, fuck you with a cactus.
Disinfect it first.
Oh no.
So actually,
I'm not sure if I want to name the episode Cactus Dildo or We're All God's Gimp. But anyway.
So while we were doing this, I was actually scrolling through some pages and looking at some titties. So I kid you not. Exactly. That was exactly what I was doing. And wow. So, yeah, I'm not even kidding. So
why do I feel like we got the raw end of the deal here, Eric?
I know. Aww. That's how I'm feeling.
So me looking at titties would be enough to send me to hell, because I was like, hey, nice titties.
Yes. Yes. Let me see. Lack of truth, striking, brawling, quarrelsomeness, unthankfulness, and
I've done all of that. If you've ever gotten in a fight in school, you're going to hell.
Well, here's one that we're all going to hell for just this episode. Irreverence. Boasting, arrogance, pride, double-tongued talk, profanity. So, going to hell again.
Fuck, slander. Fuck, fuck.
Okay, so all those GOP candidates, or senators and crap, they're all going to hell. Corruptness. Thievery.
I wish there was a hell so that he could go to it.
Embezzlement, despoiling, covenant breaking.
All the politicians.
And then the old people, because incontinence is on here. I don't understand that one.
Why? Why is incontinence?
So that means if you've ever dribbled in your pants.
Yeah. So babies and old people. So, yeah.
Is that part of the original sin, too, I guess, maybe?
I don't know. Because while Mormons don't do, like, the quote-unquote original sin, because, like, one of the 12 articles of faith, 13, there's 13 articles of faith, see how good a Mormon I am, like, Joseph Smith wrote, we believe that man will be punished for his own sins and not for Adam's transgression. So, like, we don't buy into the whole original sin thing, but at the same time, from what I've heard from women who have gone to the temple, like, they're not allowed to directly address God. Like, their husbands have to talk for them, so in essence they're still being punished for the original sin of Eve being the one that took the fruit.
Wow.
I was like, and when I heard this, like, in a way, I had wished that I had actually gone through the temple ceremony just to see the effed up crap that went on in there.
Wow.
But at the same time, I'm like, well, I never had to worry about the holy underwear. Woo. So,
you know, okay. I'm thinking about it now. Maybe you should have gone just so you could piss on it.
Oh, my God.
And maybe if you got a really nasty, angry shit, you know, maybe you could let a little dribble out before you know. Get some snail trails and some skid marks going.
Oh.
Wow.
I think Eric's traumatized.
I am.
Well, that goes into the next one, filthiness.
Hey, do you want to hear a dirty joke?
No.
A little boy fell into the mud. Fuck you.
Well, and then this next one, I'll admit, I had to look up. So, ignobleness, which I guess means not of noble descent.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm like, what?
Well, I think they're trying to be like not of like, maybe not of like noble mind, like being like, you know, try to be high minded. Does that make sense? Maybe.
Yeah.
Because very few people are actually descended from some form of royalty. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
And it's like, well, what? But filthy communications, impurity, foolishness.
So if you've ever had phone sex,
you're breaking all of these.
Pretty much.
No sending naked pictures.
Nobody likes a dick pic. That's all I got to say. Really. Nobody likes a dick pic. Come on.
Impatience. Lack
although sending
of
pictures of your toddies are always welcome. Always. Always.
Please send all of your dick pics to Matthew Maxson.
Yeah, lack of understanding, unmercifulness, idolatry.
Oh, so come on. Some of these religious idiots are some of the dumbest people on the fucking planet.
Yeah, that and idolatry. I was like, well, there goes the whole Catholic Church.
Yeah, I mean, really? Jesus on a stick. Fuck you.
Is that like Jose Jalapeno?
Oh my god.
Sorry.
No, don't be. That was awesome.
That just leads to the next one, blasphemy.
No, Jesus. And then we've got that joke.
Yeah, denial of the Holy Ghost, Sabbath breaking, envy, jealousy, malice, maligning, vengefulness, bitterness, clamor, spite, defiling, reviling, evil speaking, provoking, greediness.
Defiling, huh? Wink, wink, wink. High eyebrow, wink, wink, wink.
I know, right? Now I just see Joey going, how you doing?
Hey, baby, how you doing?
Greediness for filthy lucre? Disobedience to parents, anger, hate, covetousness, bearing false witness, inventing evil things.
Well, fuck, Joey was doing all that shit, man. Bearing false witness all over the fucking place. He made up a fucking religion.
Well, I was gonna say inventing evil things, hello.
But he made up a fucking religion.
Yeah.
Reformed Egyptian? Fuck you, idiot. Goddamn ill-educated fucking farm boy. Fuck you.
Oh my gosh. Now I lost my place. Oh yeah, inventing evil things. Fleshliness?
How many wives did he have?
Like, I don't know, 42. I'm just... Because that's the answer to life, the universe, and everything, and it sounds pretty accurate anyways. Heresy? Presumptuousness, abomination, insatiable appetite, instability, ignorance, self-will, speaking evil of dignitaries. So you gotta quit posting all those Trump memes, I guess.
Fuck you.
Becoming a stumbling block. And then in our modern language.
What that becoming a stumbling block means is like, if we're all of like the same religion, and because I'm doing fucked up shit, it makes you do fucked up shit, I'm a stumbling block.
Oh, I'm the worst stumbling block.
Yeah, because you're like a trans guy. So yeah, you're a stumbling block to all kinds of people. They don't know what the fuck to think of you.
No one knows. No one knows.
Yes. And then he says in our modern language, masturbation, petting, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, and every sex perversion.
So going to second base is out of the question then.
Right. Correct.
These people are no fucking fun, man.
No, they're not. And I mean, every sex perversion. So like no spankings or any sort of kink. So
well, fuck, they're the ones making us up into gimps. I mean,
I know, right?
Hello?
one of the, like, the one, like, the fifth and sixth thing he said was unholiness in masters and disobedience in servants. So obviously they're into that.
Yeah.
No shit. Right. And then they turn around and, man, that's the fucking religious doublespeak happening all over again.
Yeah. And then it says every hidden and secret sin.
Woohoo.
So secret, he can't even tell us. Or he just, I don't know, got tired of making word salad in this paragraph.
It really is word salad, because he's saying one thing and another. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, he's contradicting himself in these things, man. So what are we? Are we gimps or not? I don't know.
We're gimps to God. But and all unholy and impure practices. So like, that's, I don't know, that's how he rounds
it up. So again, any kind of kink is out again.
I don't know. That sounds very open to interpretation to me.
I think please do tell. Those last couple as like the miracle catch-all. Kind of like, is it the 10th Amendment that says, well, whatever else wasn't listed here is going to be controlled by the state. You know, so he's like, well, you know, even if it's not listed here, it's still a sin. So
if you think it's a sin, it's a sin.
Well, I don't think anything I do is a sin, so I think I'm pretty good.
Yeah, nice. Sure. Exactly.
Unfortunately, most of everything I do was already listed. Sorry.
Yeah, but then, okay, he gets back into, oh my gosh, where was it? I really should write page numbers on my notes. Because at some point he gets, okay, so then one of these next sections is titled Need is Discipline. Okay, so then we get back into the kink. Yeah, because then he says, so is sin like handcuffs on the wrists, a ring in the nose, and slave bands around the neck? So
we're and a ruler to my ass. Woohoo!
And a long bamboo pole.
Yeah, because, well, he's there. He was talking about when he was a kid and he took care of a Jersey bull, which, you know, like he's talking cow kind of bull. And it was, he said, it was vicious and it charged at me. So, like, I found if I, like, had something attached to the ring in his nose, I could control him. And then I would stick a bamboo pole through it. So that, and I'm thinking, golly, can we say freaking animal abuse?
No shit, Sherlock.
I don't, that wasn't listed as a sin, though.
I know, right?
No. No, so you can beat your animals and, you know, tie them to the ground and stakes and all kinds of shit, but, you know, don't even think about fucking whacking off.
Yeah.
There's a skeeter on my Peter, whack him off, whack him off. There's a skeeter on my Peter, whack him off, whack him off. There's a dozen on my cousin, get you hear them bastards buzzing. There's a skeeter on my Peter, whack him off.
I think I'm just going to go back to eating babies and avoid.
That sounds like the prudent thing to do.
Well, if they're not Mormon babies, it's probably good, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and then he just finishes by saying that all you need is self-discipline and repentance is the only way to immortal glory.
I thought all you need was love. John Lennon, shot in the street. Such a tragedy.
He was probably shot because he wasn't a Mormon.
Probably.
Because he was spreading falsehoods.
Yikes.
And thus ends the chapter. So, yeah.
Well, that was informative.
Yeah, can you imagine, like, if you're so indoctrinated and you are feeling totes guilty because you kissed your boyfriend too long, or you had...
Did you slip him some tongue, or did he slip you some tongue?
Maybe. And that's a sin, because that falls under petting.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think just me just kissing a boyfriend would be a sin, unfortunately.
Like, yeah, sorry.
It's fine.
Sorry about that. But yeah, I mean, if you were indoctrinated to the point that you believe this, and you're feeling guilty, so you go talk to your bishop because you committed some grave sin, and they said, well, here, read this. You know, this is going to help you. I mean, golly, how the hell would that make you feel when you start reading this crap?
How old were you when you told your bishop that you kissed a boy and you felt dirty?
Well, seeing as how at that point I had already had sex, I was early 20s. Early to mid-20s.
So, yeah, I bet your bishop probably bopped his bishop when you were done telling the story. No. I would bet a dollar on it.
That's a lot of money to bet. Whole dollar.
A whole dollar.
A whole dollar. That gets you 2 cab rides in Zambia. Anyway. Sorry.
A better use of that dollar would be donating it to Eric so he can help build the school.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to win this bet, so yeah, I'll donate to him anyways.
Oh, thanks. $2. Whew.
$2. What a bargain.
2 more than was there before.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Yeah, but like, I'm reading this and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, if I had actually read this when I was already feeling so guilty... I mean, holy crap, talk about just screwing your mind up.
It's a straight mind fuck.
It's no wonder I've got freaking anxiety and crap now.
You remember when I said that, you know, I couldn't be a Mormon just on the caffeine alone?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so reading this shit, fuck. It's literally impossible to try to adhere to these fucked up things. I mean, what was it, in the United States, about the same time, and I think it might have been in New York, Kellogg, the guy who made Kellogg cereal, you know why he made cornflakes? He made cornflakes. He made cornflakes as a bland cereal to try to make the people temperate, because he was all about, like, anti-masturbation and fucking all that shit, too. So now when we put Frosted Flakes... That's cornflakes with sugar on it. That's a fuck you to the founder, Kellogg.
I'm going to go buy Frosted Flakes now.
Yeah,
I'm serious.
Go for some Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, no. Well, Citation Needed did an episode on him.
Yes. And was I'd heard that before. Yeah. I listened to a podcast about history, a straight history podcast, Stuff You Missed in History Class, and they had an episode on Kellogg. That was interesting.
We need more gay history podcasts.
Well, we've got several trans podcasts that I listen to, and we're one.
You said straight history podcast.
Oh! Oh, fuck. Good joke. Thank you.
Yeah.
God, my uptake was bad on that one. Fuck me.
I told you, it just takes practice.
Yeah. Molly, I have a Mad Lib.
All right, let's do it, because I freaking love that one that you guys did with, was it Tom Cruise creating?
And the creation story, yeah.
Awesome.
It was good. All right, I need a celebrity.
Pat Robertson.
Place.
Outer Darkness.
Oh my gosh.
Adjective.
Holy.
Side question. Is Outer Darkness a reference to skin color, do you think? Because that would be really interesting.
Oh.
Well, you know, they didn't let black people into the priesthood until, what was it, the early 70s. So it might.
Late 70s. 78, I believe. 78,
I'm sorry. Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm. Just a thought. Sorry. Go ahead.
Noun.
Bible.
Type of drink.
Scotch.
Oh, beautiful. Animal.
Goat.
Animal.
Sheep. We'll go full Perry County on this.
Animals, plural.
Oh, well, cheap. Yeah, cheap.
Not again.
Oh. Okay, fishes.
Another animal.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Dogs.
Verb.
Jump.
Jump?
Or whatever, yeah, jump, or whatever form you need for...
Okay. Flying animal.
Bat.
Disease.
Rickets.
Noun.
Cactus flesh. Dildo.
Yes.
Love it.
Noun.
Flashlight.
Verb.
Drove.
Okay, you ready to hear the story of the 10 plagues?
Yes.
Yes.
When Pat Robertson was in outer darkness, he saw a holy bush. It spoke to him and said, "Go to Pharaoh and let my Bible go." So they went to Pharaoh and he did what he was told, but Pharaoh wouldn't listen. So they turned all the rivers to scotch. And he went back to Pharaoh, still wouldn't listen. They brought on the goat. There were sheep and there were fishes there. Dogs were jumping everywhere. Then the bat came and the rickets, plagues of the land. The cactus dildo all died and the deadly flashlights fell from the sky. Finally, the 10th plague hit, which was of the drove of the firstborn. The plague was so terrible that the Pharaoh finally let them and all his Bible go.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I'm not so, rivers of scotch. Hmm. Is it aged or, you know, what? I mean, you know.
I was about to say those are the best rivers ever, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's better than in the Quran where they talk about rivers of milk. Oh. That would be fucking horrifying. Rivers of milk?
It's man
Yuck.
Milk.
Yikes.
Oh, no.
It all depends on what their diet is. I mean, if they eat, you know, if they eat some, I hear that if they, you know, if they eat some fruit, it's not as bad.
Yeah, pineapples.
Pineapples. Okay, great.
It works. Just so you know, if you want to try it, you know.
I'm good.
All right. So,
I don't know. That's probably not a sin, eating fruit. I mean.
No.
Unless you're using fruit as a derogatory slang for gay people, then.
Then someone needs to come eat me, I guess. I'm a fruit.
I was going to say, well, that's when it falls back into the sin category. But.
Damn.
Well, you know, they don't believe in oral anyway, so they probably, you know, nothing fun, so.
Missionary with the lights off.
Yikes.
Oh, jeez. So glad I got out. Anyways, so.
I'm so glad I came out.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So I'd say that's a pretty good stopping point. So if my listeners want to track you down, contact you, follow you, where would they go?
We have a Patreon page. It's www.patreon.com/OAF. We also have a Facebook page. If you just look up Odd Atheist Friends, it should pop up. We post everything on there, so.
And we also have a Twitter, too, OAF Podcast on Twitter. So, yeah, please come follow us and give us gifts of money. So,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, if you follow us on Facebook, you get to see pictures of my ass and pictures I draw and...
Yeah,
lots of fun Trump things.
And we have this thing where if you give us a 5-star rating and say you suck, we will say your name on our show.
I won't lie. When I heard that, I thought about doing it.
I mean, feel free. We would, I mean, I like sucking. What? I mean, I like people saying I suck. Yeah. But you have to do 5 stars.
It has to be 5 stars. Has yes. to be 5 stars. 5 stars, and then you suck, and then we'll say your name. So.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me today. It was a blast having you guys on again. And
Molly, you're always welcome on Odd Atheist Friends. So, yeah, we'll need to get you back on again here soon.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thank you.
Heck yeah, and thanks for bringing the Mad Libs.
Rock out with the cock out.
I want to thank you for joining us. If you like what you hear, please consider supporting the show on Patreon at patreon.com/doubtingdogma or leave a review on iTunes. You can follow the show on Facebook at facebook.com/doubtingdogma or on Twitter at doubtingdogma. The intro music was written and performed by Marissa Alexa McCool and was used with her permission.